Welcome into another episode of Full Press Hurricanes. I am your host, Mike Napolitano. And last week we mentioned that there were two weekend games for the Hurricanes, the first one coming against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was actually incorrect because they decided to become the Toronto St. Pat's, their annual St. Patrick's Day Irish donned uniforms from when they used to be called the St. Pat's. So the Maple Leafs, instead of wearing their royal blue, were in green and white uniforms at home to take on the Hurricanes in their black alternate jerseys. This game did not start out very well for the Hurricanes, and the luck of the Irish would strike first. The St. Pat's, Toronto Maple Leafs, scoring their first goal only 2 minutes and 54 seconds into the first. This would be a pass from incoming former Nashville Predator Cale Yarncrow over to Erik Gustafsson. I mentioned him in one of the last podcasts. And then to Aston Reese as the puck would get thrown down on net towards Peter Kochekov and then find its way back to the point. Aston Reese would walk around the Hurricanes forwards and shoot one from basically the top of the circles and into the back of the net. This would set off the Toronto Irish-themed goal horn that they had as well. And this would not be the only time hearing that this night and in this game. They would double down on their lead as they score once more in the 12th minute of the game, 12 minutes and 30 seconds gone in the first. This was a goal from Mitch Marner, his 25th on the season, assisted by Michael Bunting and John Tavares. After peeling the puck off the boards, the St. Pat's would get the puck up to Marner, who would walk around Martin Natchez on defense, pretty much at the boards, get into about the faceoff dot, and fire a wrister right over the blocker side of Peter Kochekov. Definitely one that he wants back, but he probably also wants the first one back. Unfortunately, that was basically a screen from, like I said, the top of the circle is almost the point, so no chance for him on this one either, and he lets up his second of the night as another defensive breakdown would allow another Maple Leafs goal. The Hurricanes were not out of this one yet, though. A shot from the point from Brett Pesce in the first with the dying minutes, and that wouldn't go through, so the Hurricanes would send this around the top of the umbrella, top of the zone, over to Jordan Martinook, and then eventually to Brady Shea, who would walk in with some space on the backdoor side. The goaltender for Toronto, Samsonov, would have time to readjust and get over there, but a shot would kind of bobble around through some bodies in front, never hitting another Hurricane, but definitely squeaking past the glove and the body of Samsonov and into the net for the Hurricanes. First one this night. That was Brady Shea's 14th of the season, but that would not be all the scoring for the first. The Hurricanes think that they've gotten back within one goal, but superstar Austin Matthews had other ideas. With only 2 minutes and 22 seconds left to go in the first, Austin Matthews would find the back of the net, and this one was a power play goal, a little bit of a quarterback pushing back entry. Austin Matthews gets over the blue line, sends it over to John Tavares. He makes a beautiful toe drag and shoots it. It goes off of Matthews' pants and in behind Kochekov as Matthews was on the back door, basically. So no chance on that one either. 3-1. Toronto St. Pat's. As we head into the second period, though, Carolina would get themselves back within a goal after a pass would find Teuvo Teravainen in the top of the slot. An initial shot was blocked, so it was in the slot. Teravainen, pinching as kind of a defenseman in this situation, comes in, sends the puck over to the right dot for Martin Natchez, and he makes no mistake putting that one in behind Samsonov. 3-2 Carolina on Natchez's 26th of the year. I should also mention that Kotkaniemi was the one who passed it out of the slot after the shot never got through. It found him after he boxed out a defenseman to get it back up to the point. But just as quickly as Martin Natchez is the hero, he becomes the villain as a mistake on defense allows the Toronto Maple Leafs to go the other way and score their fourth of the game. A drop pass from Kotkaniemi to Martin Natchez, and it just misses his stick. And next thing you know, the Leafs are on the rush the other way with a 2-on-1, almost 2-on-0, basically. The defense had to track back. Sam Lafferty was the one that picked up the puck. He slots it backdoor to Zach Aston-Reese, and the Toronto St. Pats are up 4-2. That would be all the scoring for the second period, so we move into the third, and the Maple Leafs have a pass that just gets to the point, and they have to pass it back to Morgan Rielly just to get out of their zone. Morgan Rielly then is sprung on a 2-on-1 from his own blue line, and he looks off the backdoor pass and decides to fire it up high right above the glove of Peter Kochekov. It hits the back bar and bounces back out. 5-2 Toronto, and that would be how this one ends. The Leafs taking 2 points and a crucial win against a possible playoff opponent in the Carolina Hurricanes. So Hurricanes fall to 44-15-8 after this loss. They have yet to beat the Maple Leafs this season. They've faced them twice, a 3-1 loss in November and now a 5-2 loss. They have one more chance against them coming up soon, March 25th. But until then, no wins against this possible playoff matchup. The three stars of the game were all Leafs. Kale Yarncrow, the top star, Zach Aston-Reese for his 2 goals, and Ilya Samsonov. In addition, the power play was the struggle for the Hurricanes in this one. 0-for-3, Toronto goes 1-for-1, and Toronto leads in most other stats as well. But the Hurricanes would have another chance to wake up and get 2 points this weekend. They would play the Flyers the next night in Philadelphia, and I've talked about how close these two teams have played each other all year. All of their decisions have been one-goal games, and this final game in the season series would be no different. An overtime thriller, 5-4 Hurricanes in OT. Let me break it down for you. Sebastian Aho would get the Hurricanes on the board, a puck to the point for Brett Pesce. He rings it all the way around in the zone, and it gets sent back down low behind the net and out in front where Sebastian Aho is in the slot. It was a pass from Martin Natchez, and Sebastian Aho gets his 28th on the season. Point blank, no chance for Sandstrom. Brady Shea would double up the Hurricanes' lead later in the first period as he would take the puck down low in his own zone, shoot it all the way down to the other end of the ice. No icing, it is waved off. A failed clear from the Flyers, and it finds Brady Shea, who gloves the puck and keeps it in at the point, walks into about the top of the circle, and fires a wrister past Sandstrom on the far side. 2-0 Carolina Hurricanes. That was Brady Shea's 15th of the season, unassisted, so getting the job done by himself. But the Flyers were not going to go anywhere. You might remember this name from a couple of blocked shots and some hard play against the Carolina Hurricanes before. Tyson Forrester, he would score next for the Flyers to get his team back within 1 goal. Flyers send a pass up to one of their wingers, breaking out of the zone, and Forrester is right there with him. They're almost even. The defensemen are looking at the puck, and Forrester splits them by cutting in between them. Almost could have been an interference call as he bumps Brady Shea on the way by, but that little bit of separation allows a slotted pass in between the defensemen, and Forrester is in behind both of them. Almost a 2-on-1 situation now as the original passer kind of comes to the far side and is on the back door, but Forrester looks him off and decides to wire this shot right past the blocker side of Frederik Andersen, and it is 2-1 Hurricanes. Flyers coming back. Sebastian Aho would not like this comeback, so he would get himself on the board again as the Hurricanes coming out of their zone. Shane Gostisbehere sends a pass across to Stefan Nason, as the defense collapses with Shane Gostisbehere to meet him at the front of the net. That opens up the middle of the ice for Nason to slot the puck back across where it came from to now Sebastian Aho, who makes no mistake and throws this into the net right above the glove of a collapsing Sandstrom. 3-1 Hurricanes. Are you getting a little tired of the back and forth? Well, that's too bad, because of the fact that the Flyers would get on the board and cut the lead down again, as they would find themselves on a 5-on-3 power play, and the puck gets thrown around the top of the zone, down low, and then back out to Forrester, and then a shot from him goes off the pads of Anderson and right on the front doorstep of the crease for Noah Cates, who puts this one in for the Hurricanes. That is his 11th of the season, and it is 3-2 Hurricanes. Philadelphia still trying to come back. But it would take them until the third period, the start of the third period, 3:33 gone in the third, and Joel Farabee makes it 3-3. Threes are wild here in Philadelphia. The puck is sent down low in the Canes zone, and both defensemen, Brent Burns and Jacob Slavin, having a rough time finding where that puck is. It gets sent back up along the board, or taken back up along the boards by the Flyers, and Owen Tippett would send a turnaround shot on net. It would hit off the pads of Frederick Anderson, and Joel Farabee is at the doorstep to get his 11th of the season. And that was when danger struck. Brendan Lemieux getting his second of the season not too long after that, only about 2 minutes and 20 seconds later, putting the Flyers up 4-3 in this one. And it almost looks like the Hurricanes are going to lose their second of the weekend. This one was a tough one to watch. A 3-on-2 dump-in from the Flyers. Frederick Anderson would come out of his net to play this one, and instead of finding a teammate, his pass gets picked off from Morgan Frost, who slams himself against the boards to keep the puck there at his feet. He pokes it in front for Brendan Lemieux, and he has a wide open cage as Frederick Anderson is trying to scramble back into the crease. And this one did not look pretty to watch. 4-3, Carolina is down to the Philadelphia Flyers, a team you don't want to be losing to. But thank goodness, with only a second left on the clock, Martin Natchez on the power play with the goalie pulled would score the game-tying goal to send this game into overtime. A face-off win from the Hurricanes and a D-to-D pass over to Shane Gostisbehere. He sends a shot that goes off Sandstrom and finds the corner. Gostisbehere is able to chase down his own pass and try to throw it back in front of the net. It doesn't quite get there with a bunch of bodies in front, but Teuvo Teravainen gets it at his feet, throws it back door where there's two Hurricanes standing, Aho and Natchez, and Natchez is able to put it in with 1 second left. They did look at the clock to make sure that this was in time, and it was, with like 0.2 seconds left on the clock. And we are headed to overtime. Both teams getting a point in this one. But who would take home the second point? A much needed point for the Carolina Hurricanes, who are looking to stay in the top spot in the Metro. Overtime would not take long, as Sebastian Aho would take the puck from his own end and do it all himself. He sends a puck right underneath the stick and through the legs of defenseman Tony DeAngelo, absolutely undressing the defenseman. And as that move takes him to the slot and moving towards the right side of the goal, his left-handed shot, he would send the puck the other way over the blocker of Sandstrom, who was already down, and this one would find the back of the net and bounce right out. So 2 points, a much-needed 2 points for the Carolina Hurricanes in this one. I know I'll wrap things up here, but I just want to mention that they are sitting atop the Metropolitan with 98 points, but New Jersey a point behind them with 97. Of course, Carolina has 2 games in hand on them, but without Svechnikov, this is becoming a very tight race for the playoffs here, and the Hurricanes look to stay atop it. I will get into how they can do that this week in my next episode, so thank you for tuning in for this long extended weekend breakdown. But this has been Full Press Hurricanes. I'm your host, Mike Napolitano. Let's go, Hurricanes.